When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM. We're also on myjoyonline.com. We are live in all 16 regions. We are on Radio Justice in Tamale, Jubilee Radio in Keta, Mbwepe FM in Mbwepe. We are live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDP pipes and water tank. We're the only water storage tank with a level indicator, and we're Duroplus Plus goes, water flows. This afternoon, deep cracks emerge and special committee set up by Parliament to probe content of a leaked tape allegedly plotting the removal of the IGP after the chairman refused to sign the report laid before the House. We have details as lawyers for the IGP say the development confirms their suspicions that Samuel Atachia is biased against Dr. George Ekufu-Dampare.
What has happened has fully confirmed our earlier nightmare that the chairman, Honorable Atachia, had his own agenda. And that
meanwhile, lawyer for Superintendent George Asare has been reacting to the findings of the committee against his client.
Well, I think that conclusion is a bit perverse. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like somebody was in a hurry to hang our client.
We have details of that also this afternoon. Angry youth in Pakpayili community in the northern region marched on a house of runaway suspects believed to be behind the death of two toddlers as efforts by police to calm nerves prove futile.
The youth are angry. They're complaining. It's under custody. The suspect is let off the hook. The uncle of the deceased children is under custody since Saturday.
Why was he arrested?
That should be, the police should give an answer to that.
We are live in Pakpayili in the community there. And ahead of the announcement of Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh as running mate to Dr. Mahmood Baomyawa, recount the journey so far amidst the concerns about party unity.
What we can confirm is that the recommendation of the nominee of Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh by Dr. Mahmood Baomyawa is certain and it's not in doubt.
We'll also put the spotlight on the mounting tension and disagreement among the leadership of the campaign team. We have sports.
Major boost for Ghana as national record holder Benjamin Azamati qualifies for the 2024 Olympic Games.
And chairman of a committee tasked to regulate the price of cement accuses cement manufacturers of withholding price information after five unsuccessful attempts.
The whole purpose of the legislation is to promote openness and transparency in cement prices. And that has been an issue of both concern and a bit of frustration, both to the ministry, myself, and all players.
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. And this is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. This afternoon, deep cracks emerge among members of a special committee instituted by Parliament to investigate the contents of a leaked audio tape on which some senior police officers are heard allegedly plotting with a former NPP regional chairman to remove IGP Dr. George Ekufu-Dampare from office. While these cracks follows the presentation of the report of the special committee to Parliament without the signature of chairman of the committee, Samuel Atachia. We'll get into the contents of the report put before the House shortly. But first, Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante joins me in studio with details of what exactly we are learning. So, Kweku, who actually laid this report before the House?
So, it is not irregular that committee chairmen sometimes are not available on the floor for their reports to be laid. Other persons would be asked to stand in. On this particular day, it was Kennedy Ejiapong, the chairman of the Defense and Interior Committee, who did lay this report on behalf of the chairman. The deputy speaker who was presiding did stress so many times whether or not the chairman of the committee himself had approved that that report be laid. So listen to what happened on the floor on that day when this report was laid.
It was an ad hoc committee that was constituted. So I'll seek your leave for the special chairman to lay that one together with your leave.
I don't have any problem, but where is the chairman?
The chairman, the chairman is not here. Honorable Atacha is not here. And we are seeking your leave for the laying to be done by...
I don't have any problem. Is he okay that the report is laid?
We are related to you and he's okay.
Well, well. Chairman, do as the honest.
Report of the Special Committee of Inquiry into the content of a leaked audio tape of a high-ranking police officer and others in an alleged conspiracy to remove the current Inspector General of Police, Dr. George Akufo-Addo-Dampare, and related matters.
Honourable members, the report has been duly presented. The report are to be distributed to honourable members.
Now, Kweku, what more are we learning about the circumstances leading to these major disagreements between the chairman and the other committee members?
MFR, we now know that that report was actually laid without the permission of the chairman of the committee, Samuel Atachia. In fact, the information we are picking is that the chairman had specifically instructed that that report not be laid. In fact, if you look at that report, it has the signature of all the other members except the signature of the chairman of the committee, Samuel Atachia. Our sources say that he had significant disagreement with the report that had been authored by the secretariat to the committee. And normally the way parliament worked, that report would have been given to the chairman if he didn't write the report himself so that he can distribute it to members. In this instance, other members of the committee did write this report together with the secretariat, presented it to the chairman, and he said he had significant differences, and in fact, he wanted the committee to call other witnesses so that they can get to the bottom of this report. The other members did not agree with him. They did go ahead, presented this report to the House, and he says he cannot be part of it, for which reason he did not give his consent. He says he takes significant exception that that report had been laid without his knowledge. And in fact, you heard the Frank Anadompre tell the deputy speaker then that that report was being laid with his knowledge. He says that report has not been laid with his knowledge. And in fact, he has conferred with the Speaker of Parliament. Our sources tell us that in the next few days, we are going to have another report authored now by the chairman of the committee to be laid on the floor that will have significant differences from what we have seen in the public domain so far.
Let's go through what we've seen so far, starting with the members that actually signed this report and what their recommendations are.
So if you look at this 21-page report, it is signed by James Agaga, who is the vice chair, Patrick Yabuama, a member, Ophelia Mensah Ifod, a member, Eric Opoku, a member, and Peter Lanchini Tobu, a member, as well as Ms. Jeanette Frimpong, the clerk to the special committee. The committee make a number of findings. For instance, they hold that some persons have been in contempt of parliament because of certain things that he had said. For instance, they say that Superintendent Asari and Superintendent JB have all not really spoken truth when they did appear before the committee. So they make that. They also make a recommendation and say that the House should communicate these findings to His Excellency the President to discipline these officers involved because they have engaged in misconduct. And the report goes to the conclusion that these officers, COP, Mensa, Superintendent Asari, and Superintendent Jebi, have all breached Section 17D of the Police Service Act, and they must be sanctioned by the President. Again, it says that as a corollary to the above and in relation to the appointment of the IGP, it is crucial to amend and review Article 202(1) of the 1992 Constitution and relevant statutes and subject the nominee of an IGP to parliamentary approval. So they make some far-reaching conclusions and recommendations in this one-sided report that has since been laid in the House.
Well, we'll get to take a look at this and the issues developing as a result. We've been hearing from lawyers for the IGP. They say the development confirmed that chairman of the committee, Samuel Atachia, is biased against the Inspector General of Police. Listen to Kwame Jan, his lead counsel for the IGP, during the hearings.
What has happened has fully confirmed our earlier nightmare that the chairman, Honorable Atachia, had his own agenda and that he was on a frolic of his own way outside the remit of the committee. And we have been vindicated. We have been in the practice of the House. The chair appointed by the Speaker has no original vote. So Honorable Akachi's vote is only a casting vote if there was a tie, and there wasn't. So far as we are concerned, this report is a unanimous report. Our client, the indefatigable Inspector General of Police, has been sacked from office. Oh, we know it's part of the machination of some unscrupulous elements who have an insatiable appetite to be IGP.
Well, that's a lawyer, Kwame Jan Kweku. You've been putting these concerns to someone, Atachia himself, a lawyer as well. What has he been telling you?
Mr. Atachia does not want to respond directly to these issues because he says, as chairman of the committee has been tasked by parliament to do a specific work, he's in the process of finalizing his own report, which he will present to the Speaker of Parliament and the House, which will purposely deal with these allegations against him that he is biased against the IGP. He says he does not have anything against the IGP. He says he will not lie against the IGP, but also that he will not do anything to protect the IGP in case the IGP has done something wrong. And that is what he insists.
Okay, thank you very much. That's our Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent, Kweku Asante. We'll bring in Dr. Rashid Rahman shortly on this, but the lawyer on the other side, Superintendent George Osiris' lawyer, that's Alfred Papa Dakwa, says it appears the other side of the committee were in a hurry to hang their client.
Well, I think that conclusion is a bit perverse, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like somebody was in a hurry to hang our client.
Well, let me bring in Dr. Rashid Rahman. We are grateful for your time. He's Executive Director of the Africa Center for Parliamentary Affairs. Well, you've been monitoring events after this particular hearing and the documents that are coming up, amongst others. Really, I would like to take your initial thoughts on what you're learning so far.
For what I'm learning so far, I think for me, I would like to focus more on the kind of strategic and bigger issues in terms of how we get some of these committees to be much more effective in the work that they do. I mean, I've heard many, many times minority reports emanating from maybe a small group within a committee that has a dissenting opinion. But I've never, or it's very rare, to get to a point where, you know, the whole committee is on one side and the chairman is on another side. I mean, and what this speaks to, MFR, is the fact that over the years, the way various committees in our parliament have been set up and run, I think have been quite wrong. I mean, not very transparent, not very democratic. In parliaments that work and that are effective, you set up a committee and then you let members democratically elect the person that should lead them as the chair of the committee. And this is very important because of what is happening right now. Because in the work that we do, we have come to the conclusion that committees are effective if there are so many conditions, but one of the key conditions is the role of the chairperson. He or she has to be one that's acceptable, that can bring all the committee members together, a level-headed person, well-respected amongst the members of the committee, and so on and so forth. Okay. Just so that you avoid situations like this.
Well, that said, Dr. Draman, it appears we're going to have two reports from this particular hearing, the chairman on one side and then the other committee members on that side. How then should Parliament be dealing with this issue, given its sensitive nature?
Well, I mean, I think now it's the issue goes back to the Right Honourable Speaker who has set up this committee, because the fact that, I mean, I've heard you on your program a very long time ago when you were pushing Honourable Atachia about this report. And, I mean, you know, the answers were not quite forthcoming. And what is happening now, I think, you know, testifies to the fact that there were issues right from the beginning. So I think now it's up to the leadership of Parliament to take these two reports and see how they normally do what is called winnowing when it comes to lawmaking. Maybe on this occasion, they might have to do some winnowing. And I know there are high stakes. I mean, there are a lot of interests and so on. They have to find a way to make sure that these two reports make sense. Because I mean, we are already hearing IGP is fired, is not fired, and all those things. That is not good for the security of our country and for the stability of our country.
Okay. Dr. Draman will definitely engage subsequently. We are indeed grateful for your time. That's Dr. Rashid Draman. Let's get into the election headquarters now. Election headquarters is made possible by Petrosol, Clean Fuel in full quantity, SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, SIMA, AICP and SIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenience service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridget Gaps for Positive Youth Development. And this afternoon, and as the flag bearer of the new patriotic party, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia proceeds to officially table the name of Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh as his running mate for the 2024 presidential election, despite reservations expressed by some members of the New Patriotic Party. Parliament has been a hotspot for a debate on the NPP's choice of running mate. MP for Santia Chim North constituency described the nomination of Dr. Prempeh as inappropriate owing to his supposed inability to unify the party. Blessed Suga of our political desk takes a look at the recent controversy in this report.
Jubilation amongst supporters of Mesha South Member of Parliament Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, who's been nominated by the flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, as his running mate. Joy News sources can confirm that the Vice President has already engaged many party stakeholders, indicating his resolve to work with the Energy Minister on the agenda of winning the next general elections.
One voter, one t-shirt. The one voter, one t-shirt.
But opinions remain divided over the nomination of Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, as some parliamentarians have expressed reservations about.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
His candidature, notable amongst them, is Asante Achim MP, Andy Apiakubi, who says Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh is not a unifier.
But me, Apiakubi, on that, if it was for me to choose, I would choose him. Why? He's not my preference. I would want somebody who will be open with the people on the ground, who will be able to deliver the votes, and who would also submit to the presidency, who, if the president, the presidential candidate is not there, he will hold the hand of a member of parliament and go and conduct campaign in that member of parliament's constituency. I don't see that happening in this equation.
He doesn't have the quality.
He cannot hold my hand.
As party faithful look forward to the NPP council resolution on the nomination of the party's vice presidential candidate, the leadership of the NPP is urging loyalists to remain calm in order to preserve the unity of the party. Alexander Abenyomarkin is majority leader in parliament.
We should all respect party rules and understand that the times we are in are very sensitive times. We have an election just ahead of us, and we should be mindful of how we express certain views in the public space. No decision has been made yet. So I would want to encourage colleague members of parliament that we are in this together.
Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia is expected to table his official nominee before the NPP's council on Thursday, where he will officially notify them about his intention of making Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh his running mate for the 2024 general election.
And we await that official announcement after the National Council meeting. But ahead of that announcement of the running mate to Dr. Mahmoud Oubamia, there appears to be mounting tension and disagreement among the leadership of the campaign team. Joining us is learning about a rift between the campaign team over the structures and how the campaign is being run. A member of our political desk, Elton Broby, joins me in studio on what we are learning so far. So, Elton, it appears all is not well within the campaign. First, we are learning about the absence of the campaign manager at a crucial two-day meeting. What do we know?
Well, before what we do understand that there was a two-day retreat at Elkin Hotel at East Legon for all campaign managers, but Mason was the campaign manager, Dr. Kweku Bocho Danboche, for the two-day retreats, even though close sources reveal he was in the country and even passed through the office in Parliament at some point. We are reliably informed that there are key disagreements about how the campaign has been executed and the structures in place not being adhered to, which is key concern for the likes of Danboche, who insists the crucial nature of the election does not permit members to run the campaign as though it is business as usual.
So knowing the concerns we are told he has, is he still the campaign manager? Has he resigned?
Well, as we speak, there is no official communication from Danboche or the campaign team to that effect, but close sources are doubt if he will still be the man in charge of Dr. Baumier's campaign into the December polls. It's unclear if he will bow to pressure from the party and remain at post or step aside. We're still monitoring.
Okay, thank you very much. That's my colleague Elton Broby. Let me take you to the northern region now. And youth of Kapayili are marching to the residence of a local man suspected of causing the deaths of two toddlers in the area. Residents suspect the children were murdered for ritual purposes as their decomposed bodies were found in a vehicle behind the house of Muslim cleric Alhaji Abdul Rahman, popularly known as Malam Madaha, Sunday evening. Angry residents say set one of the houses ablaze after the police released him on bail in less than 24 hours of this arrest while keeping an uncle of the deceased children in custody. The residents now are en route to torch his second house. My colleague Martina Bugri is in the community, which she'll join us shortly with the very latest on this. But here's an earlier interview with the assembly member for the area, Hafiz Andani.
We slept over there, not over there with the police. The police slept over with me.
Why did you sleep over?
We needed to protect properties. The suspect have two houses. One of the houses catered fire. After the cause of the fire is still unknown, so we didn't want to take any risk again. The police came in to exhume the bodies of the two kids that got missing. And ever since, they have not let the site, they have been there. After the youth are massing there, I'm with the youth, but I told them not to take the law into their hands. So they should link. Let's respect the laws. Let the law take its full course.
So there's still anger amongst the youth about what happened.
Please. Yes, please. The youth are angry. The complainant is still under custody. The suspect is let off the hook. The uncle of the deceased children is still under custody since Saturday.
Why was he arrested?
The police should give an answer to that. How does the police know?
And that's the assembly member for the area, Martina Bugri, is live on the ground. Martina, what's the situation?
Now, when you get to the scene where these children were found dead, there are several youths who have masked up at the place. They are threatening to burn the second house that belongs to the suspect. And their reason is that until they have evidence that he's been detained and the uncle of one of the deceased released, they threaten to burn up the place. But one thing that we have to is we have heavy police presence in the area. Mm. There's this water cannon there with a station police officers. Okay. We have some around the house where they are threatening to torch, and some around the first one that was touched.
Are you able to give us clarity on how many children exactly are involved? Earlier we're hearing about eight, now we're hearing about two. What is the official number that you're getting from the police?
So from my sources within the police, and what is at the hospital now, they have two bodies and not eight as been told earlier on by some others.
Okay, you interacted with the chief at its palace also. How has he been reacting to this?
Now, they are worried that if the uncle of the deceased is not released, it will heighten the tension there because they say that it is their son or their children who are dead. And why would our children be dead and you arrest us as the suspect? So they think that it is not fair and that has the possibility of triggering mass destruction in the area. And so they are urging the police that they should release the uncle of the boy while they continue with their investigation. And they are also asking that the suspect be detained while the police continue with their investigation.
That's our Northern Regional Correspondent Martina Bugri there giving us updates from the Kapayili suspected murders of two toddlers. Well, the police have issued a statement in that regard. My colleague Papani Ashali joins us in studio. What's the police saying?
However, in three separate tweets, the police says that the Ghana police has commenced investigation into the circumstances surrounding the death of two children in Kapayili, a suburb of Tamale in the Northern Region. They continue to say that the bodies of the children were found on 30th June 2024 in an abandoned vehicle in one of the compounds within the Kapayili community. The children had been reported missing on 25th June 2024. Finally, he says the bodies of the two deceased children have been deposited at the Tamale Teaching Hospital morgue for preservation and autopsy while investigation continues.
Thank you very much. That's Michael Ashale with the very latest, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM, also on Love 99.5 FM, also on myjoyonline.com, made possible by DuraPlus, where DuraPlus goes, water flows, also by PetroSol, your clean fuel in full quantity. We return from the break, and I'll take you live to the Ministry of Finance, where the monthly economic update is currently being addressed by the Finance Minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin, also following the release of the third tranche of the IMF fund. Please stay with us here on the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. It's a good time to take you live to the Ministry of Finance for that monthly economic update being addressed by Dr. Mohamed Amin Adams.
With the IMF. And so we'll take this joint conference, press conference, as June updates as well. First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to express my deepest gratitude to the people of Ghana for their resilience and support in these challenging times. The good news is that the implementation of the policies, measures, and interventions which we developed to address the economic challenges facing our dear nation are yielding positive results. Despite a challenging global environment, the strong leadership provided by His Excellency President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo and his government, coupled with support and inputs of the people of Ghana, have undoubtedly contributed to the successes we are seeing today. It is our conviction that in the near term, we will see even greater results as we ramp up our implementation efforts. In today's media briefing on the economy, I'll provide updates on the following key areas: the performance of the economy to date, progress made on the implementation of the IMF-supported PCPEC, status of Ghana's debt restructuring program, and the status of independent power producers' legacy debt, as well as the power purchase agreement renegotiations, among others. Let me summarize some of the remarkable achievements we've witnessed in recent times. Generally, the macroeconomic environment continues to remain stable as government continues to implement the IMF-supported program. Growth, as we've heard from the previous two distinguished speakers, is proving to be more resilient and robust than initially programmed. And the economy continues to show strong signs of recovery, particularly in quarter one of 2024. The results was remarkable. Overall real GDP growth for quarter one 2024 was 4.7%, the highest since quarter one of 2022. This growth performance is better than the 3.1% growth recorded in the same period in 2023. Industry grew the most at 6.8%, followed by agriculture at 4.1% and services at 3.3%. The 2024 quarter one GDP growth rate is the highest since quarter four of 2020. The growth in industry is particularly interesting. In the past, growth came largely from services and to some extent agriculture. Industry did not perform well.
And so if we are beginning to see industry performing well, it tells us that the real recovery is here. Manufacturing is going to grow continuously, and that will mean more jobs being created for the Ghanaian people, more wealth being created for the Ghanaian people. And therefore, we have turned the corner as we have said over and over. The future is brighter. Inflation, as we've also heard from the governor of the Bank of Ghana, is declining with a strong disinflation process since the beginning of 2023. In response to the ongoing fiscal consolidation, appropriate tightening of monetary policy, and relative stability in the exchange rate. Headline inflation declined by 1.9 percentage points to 23.1% in May 2024 from 25.0% in April 2024, after peaking at 54.1% in December 2022. The CD has been under pressure in recent times. However, compared to 2023, we've seen relative stability. Year-to-date depreciation of the CD against the dollar is 18.4% compared to 22% recorded in the same period.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.